The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has been raised from the dead, and indeed, he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you." So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Well, it's wonderful to see you here. Happy Easter. It's a beautiful day. The sky is blue, the temperature feels more like summertime than springtime, but the flowers are in bloom. My grass needs cutting, and maybe yours does too. So everything is just right. It's the day of resurrection, a day of celebration, a day of excitement. And that makes me wonder why there's so much talk in this gospel lesson about fear. I'm sure you probably have noticed that every time an angel shows up anywhere, they begin by saying, "Fear not." So I guess we should ask ourselves, what is it that which we're afraid of? There's actually a lot of fear. We're kind of probably born with a certain fear mechanism. It's inherent. It's part of the law of survival. I mean, millions of years ago, the reason that people survived the raging dinosaurs was the fear response, right? Dinosaurs raged up and down Braddock Road years ago. And we still succumb to that. Advertising plays on our fears all the time. I spend way too much time in my car, as some of you know, and so I listen to more ads than I care to admit to. And I'm told every single day that I need a different software for my computer because it's going to be hacked. And the hackers are getting better and better, so you better look out. And my identity is about to be stolen, and so I need something to protect me from that. And my house, there are burglars surrounding my house even as we speak, about to break in. All of this, of course, to play on my fear that something could go wrong. Pharmaceutical companies do it. Investment advisors do it. Everybody plays. My favorite one, I think, is this ad that maybe you've seen on television, and that is it's a dark and rainy night. A nice young lady is driving her car with a young child in it through the rain, pelting rain, on a slippery, winding road. Fear is in her eyes, and then suddenly a deer is in the headlights. But she's able to stop because she has exactly the right tires. And you too need those tires. Fear motivates so much. Fear motivates us when we go to the polls. Politicians are tough on crime, right? That touches that nerve. Every time we read in the paper or see for ourselves that a synagogue has been desecrated, or the UCC church and the JCC just down the road here have had graffiti plastered on them. The source of that is fear. It's fear we're somehow losing our identity, fear somehow we're losing the way things are or the way things ought to be. And the way to one way, I suppose, to overcome fear is to blame it on somebody. And that way you can feel a little better about it. I think that the church, we ought to take advantage of this. I think it's time for us to start selling fear. Worried about eternal life? Come to the Church of the Good Shepherd. Our clergy have all the answers. We'll save you from the evil one. Having trouble with the difficult sayings of Jesus? When the sayings get tough, the tough get creative. We can help you swallow any difficult pill that may come your way in the Bible. Pilate was afraid too. I don't understand why. Pilate was at the top of the food chain. Pilate was the most powerful man in Jerusalem. Legions at his command. I don't know why he was afraid, but he was afraid. I understand why Peter was afraid. Peter thought that he could end up in the same condition as his friend Jesus. That's why he said he didn't know him. And I understand why the disciples ran away, more or less the same thing, but they did. Although my wife reminds me every Easter that the women stayed. It's the men who ran away. But they did. And I get it about that. So why was Pilate afraid? Pilate posted soldiers in front of the tomb to make sure Jesus couldn't somehow get out of there. Maybe he'd heard the prophecies that it was all going to change. And maybe he was afraid of the prophecy. Because if in fact Jesus could somehow be resurrected, then Pilate would no longer be the most powerful man in town. I guess that's why he was afraid. Why are we afraid? The angel comes to us too. This ferocious, I love this angel. This is the best angel in the Bible. He makes a wonderful entrance, doesn't he? She, it. The angel comes with lightning and thunder, rolls back the stone, sits on it. I'm confident this angel folded its arms over its chest and said, "All right, I'm bringing you a message. And the message is, don't worry. Jesus is going ahead. Jesus is going ahead, and you'll see him." And then Mary and Martha encounter, Mary and Mary encounter Jesus. And he says the same thing, don't worry, I'm going ahead. And interestingly, they are said to be filled with fear and joy at the same time. Fear and joy at the same time. Now, that may sound like a contradiction, but maybe not. Joy, certainly, because their mentor, their master, their rabbi, their Messiah was there. Not a resuscitated body, but a new being, as Paul Tillich would say, a new creation. So I get the joy part. What about the fear part? Maybe they were afraid of what it might mean. After all, if Jesus is resurrected, then all of our carefully concluded notions about what works and what doesn't work might be wrong. And perhaps that's our fear, too. Because if Jesus lives, then all the things we believe about what's up and what's down and how we're supposed to live and how to make a buck and what's important about power and might, all those things are wrong. There's a young man who visits us, has been visiting us every now and then during the week, named Richard. Richard is probably 40 years old. He's a good-looking guy, and he's homeless. And he would be better looking if he took a shower. He never asks for food. He never asks for money. He just wants somebody to talk to. Richard is in desperate need of mental health care. I'm not a psychiatrist, so I'm not going to try to diagnose Richard, but he is delusional beyond belief and homeless. I have no answer for Richard other than to talk to him. I'm afraid in the sense that I don't know what to do with Richard. I'm not really afraid that he might be violent because he's just not that guy. But I am afraid that we don't have the answer for him. But we have to. We can't turn our back on him. And all the Richards like him, wherever we may find them. We can't. And you know why we can't? Because Jesus lives. And since Jesus lives, we have to take him seriously. And we have to pay attention. We have to pay attention when he says the people who don't like us are people we have to learn to love. The people who persecute us are the very people for whom we have to pray. We can't say that all that's just hyperbole. We have to believe it. Or in the alternative, we can just keep him locked away, like Pilate tried to do. We can just sort of hide him in there, and we can say, oh, yeah, well, no, it's really just a figment. Somehow the disciples imagined that they saw Jesus. And he lives on in the church sort of the same way that the music of Mozart lives on in our hearts. We can do that. We can be dismissive. But if he lives, we have to live our lives completely differently than what we're used to. We have to let go of fear. Do not fear. We have to embrace Richard and all the Richards that we meet in our life. We have to love radically. We have to be radically empathetic. The Persian poet we call Rumi says somewhere, "What love is this, that I see not you, but the world you see?" Jesus calls us to see not the person, but the world that the person sees. Not Michael, but his world. This is no easy task, but it's what we're called to be as Christian people. I don't know why we sometimes see the world as dark and threatening when the message is bright and hopeful. But we do. And that's why we have Easter. We have Easter to remind us that the world is in need of our love, in need of our compassion, in need of our care. And we have to respond. We have to respond because Jesus lives.
Amen.